Eddie Hyatt here. I want to welcome you to the Eddie Hyatt podcast, and I'm so excited to be back with you and beginning a new series today that I'm very excited about on the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts. Now, as I'm looking at my Bible here, my New Testament, and you'll find this in most New Testament, it's called the Acts of the Apostles. Now, if you're new to the Bible, it is after the book, immediately after the Gospels, after the Gospel of John, and commonly called the Acts of the Apostles. But actually, in the oldest manuscripts, it is not called the Acts of the Apostles. It's actually called simply Acts, that one word, Acts. And when you read the book of Acts, it's obvious that it's not limited to the Acts of the Apostles. It's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Acts of the Holy Spirit through His church, through His people. And it is the one book in the Bible that has no closure on the end, has no amen. It just ends right in the middle of a very interesting story of the life of Paul, who has been arrested for preaching the gospel and is under house arrest in Rome. It just suddenly finished right in the middle of this story. Has no ending, no amen. Because in a sense, in a real sense, the book of Acts is still being written. The Acts of the Holy Spirit are continuing down through the centuries, have continued down through the centuries, and are continuing in the church today. Now, before we get into the actual text, I want to just mention some things about the background of Acts, because the background is always very important in understanding. The book of Acts is actually a history. It's not a doctrinal book. It is a history book. Now, doctrine can be affirmed and even derived from Acts, because we see patterns of how God worked through those first Christians, those first believers. So it is a history of the early church in the first century, after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, and then 50 days later, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and then the church explodes, the church begins. It provides a bridge between the Gospels and the Epistles. If we didn't have Acts, we wouldn't understand what has happened when we would begin reading the Epistles if we had no Acts. Because the Gospels end with the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus, and these activities all happening in Israel, and particularly centered in Jerusalem. We come to the Epistles, and all of a sudden, we find letters to believers, to churches in Gentile cities, in Rome, in Thessalonica, in Ephesus, and all these major cities of the Roman Empire. And it is only through the book of Acts that we understand how this has happened. The book of Acts is actually the second volume of a two-volume set written by Luke, who was a companion of Paul. And Paul mentions Luke in some of his letters. In one of his letters, he calls him Luke the physician. And it is Luke who wrote our third gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He wrote his third gospel, and then he wrote Acts, which was a second volume. In the first volume, he talked about Jesus, the life of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. He gives the most extensive account of the birth of Jesus. Many believe it's because of his, as a physician, it was his gynecological, however you pronounce that word, gynecological, I don't think I'm pronouncing that right, but it's doctors who deal with infants and births and so on. And so because of his interest in this area, probably is as a physician, is why he gives the most extensive account of the birth of Jesus and the appearance of the angel Gabriel to Mary. But then in the book of Acts, the way he begins, and he's writing it probably to some kind of government official, and he says to him, listen to this, he says, the former account O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. The former account I made, O Theophilus, the former account, what's he referring to? He's referring to the Gospel of Luke. So he says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began. Notice he says began both to do and teach. So what the implication is in the former volume you remember I sent to you, Theophilus, I told you what Jesus began to do and teach. And so now I'm going to tell you what he has continued to do and to teach in his church through the person and power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. So the gospel, he told us what Jesus began to do and teach. But the book of Acts is a record of what Jesus continued to do and to teach in and through his followers, through the power and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, Luke has been affirmed and validated by modern archaeology as a world-class historian. This really happened beginning in the 1800s with a world-renowned archaeologist by the name of Sir William Ramsay, who was also a professor at Oxford University. And he was a skeptic, an agnostic. He did not believe that the Bible was a reliable book. He did not believe that the New Testament was reliable. He did not believe that, for example, the Gospels were written by the traditional authors of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He did not believe that the epistles were written by Paul. He believed that these were letters and documents that were written by people in the second and third century who had no direct relationship with the things that they had written. And so they were full of errors. They were full of myths and legends and so on, and were just not reliable. Well, there was one point in his career, Sir William Ramsay, that he decided that he was going to retrace the account of Paul's travels in the book of Acts. The first several chapters, I think it's about 10 chapters of the book of Acts, is about Peter. Peter is the main person. He is the main character in the first half of Acts. But then the latter part of Acts, Paul is the main character. And Paul's travels, Paul is one of the 12 in Jerusalem. They don't do a whole lot of travels outside of Judea. But Paul becomes the apostle to the Gentiles, and he goes on these four missionary journeys and widespread travels preaching the gospel in the Roman Empire and to the Gentile world. And so Sir William Ramsay decided that he was going to follow Luke's account of Paul's travels, and he would do archaeological excavations along the way, and he was convinced that he would scientifically prove that Luke's account of Paul's travels was filled with so many inaccuracies or mistakes, and he would settle once and for all that the Bible is a unreliable book. However, after spending years traveling to cities like Lystra, Iconium, Ephesus, Thessalonica, years retracing Paul's travels, we find in Luke that we find in Acts that we will be looking at, and doing archaeological excavations along the way, his whole worldview, his whole attitude towards the Bible was completely transformed. He became convinced that Acts was written by the traditional author, by Luke. And he said he found Luke to be accurate in the tiniest details. Now, this is not based on faith. We believe in the accuracy of the Bible. We begin with faith. We believe it is the Word of God, and we've accepted it by faith. Remember, he began with unbelief. He began with skepticism. It was actually the scientific facts that convinced him of the truthfulness of the Bible. And so after years of archaeological excavations, following the path laid out by Luke. He said that Luke should be counted among the greatest of historians. He said everything he's written is trustworthy. He also said, you can press what Luke has written. And he said, you will not find this with any other historian. He said, but you can press what Luke has written down to the tiniest details, and you will find him accurate in the tiniest details of his account. Luke is a world-class historian, he said. This was the fruit of his scientific archaeological excavations. Well, he then had to face the fact that Luke also had written the Gospel of Luke, and where he gave accounts of the virgin birth, the life, the miracles, the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus. And so he was faced with the fact, well, if Luke was this careful to get his facts right about Paul's travels and all of the details that are so obvious there in Acts, it became so obvious to him. He had to deal with the fact, was not Luke also careful to get his facts right about the birth, the miraculous conception, virgin birth of Jesus? How about the resurrection? He actually became a believer, shocked the academic world of his day, became a follower of Jesus Christ. He was convinced by the facts, by the scientific facts. And so this is the book of Acts that we're going to be looking at today. So you can have confidence in what we're going to be looking at, not just from a faith perspective, but from a scientific perspective. You can be confident when you pick up the book of Acts and begin to read it. You can have the same confidence in the Gospel of Luke and in the epistles, because he became convinced about the entire New Testament. He became convinced that it was a reliable book written by the traditional authors. And so what an exciting study this is going to be. And so I look forward to sharing with you this week, beginning this week. And I don't know how long this is going on, probably for quite a while, but such powerful truths that we're going to find. By the way, what I was sharing with you about Sir William Ramsay, have detail about that in my book, Discovering the Real Jesus, just published this past summer, Discovering the Real Jesus. I have more detail, a lot of detail about how archaeology, not only with Sir William Ramsay, but other archaeologists who started out as skeptics and became convinced that the Bible is a reliable book, and many of them became believers because of their scientific investigation. So Discovering the Real Jesus, available from our website, eddiehyatt.com, also from Amazon, and I'll look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. God bless you.